Can the brother raise the tune, please?
Thank you.
since there are many children here this evening, I will need some help. You know, I really enjoy coming here because I saw many animals. I saw a chipmunk. I saw a deer. I saw a butterfly, some birds, and you know, I come from the city. You must understand that I don't see these things all the time. But you know, I even saw a groundhog. But you know, I was preparing for the message tonight and I picked up something on the grass and I put it in the box here. And it's alive. I'd like to know if there is a courageous boy of maybe, let's start a 7-year-old, who would be willing to come here, or maybe in the middle there, and open the box. Or a girl. Are there some courageous girls here? Could you come, please? You do it very gently, okay? Very gently. Oh, what is this? Could you take it with your hands? Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. You know, this book is alive. It's the living Word of God. It changed my life. You know, at the age of 17 years old, someone talked to me about the Lord Jesus. And I said, oh, that's good for a whole lady in the church. That's for me. I'm young. I want to live my life. He said, you read it and you talk to me. I said, I'm going to read it. I'm going to go talk to you. A little rooster, you know. So, he told me to read the Gospel of John. So I started to read the Gospel of John. Then I read John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, oh, maybe someone could say it. Yes. Thank you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father but by me. You know, when I read that verse, I said, oh, who is that person who said that? I said, I never heard that before. Someone who could, you know, I was interested in philosophy a little bit, but I said, this is very strong. Then I continued to read the Bible, and it changed my life. I got to know Jesus, His love, and His grace. And tonight, I would like to share with you the gospel. The gospel is a good news. And, you know, the brothers asked me if I could share the gospel message. And I would like to just to read a verse that would explain what is the work of an evangelist. What is the task of an evangelist? Let's read it in the Gospel of John chapter 1. Gospel chapter 1 and verse 42. Talking about Andrew, and he brought him to Jesus. Oh, tonight, my desire is to bring you to the Lord Jesus, is to let you know the Lord Jesus in a personal way. This happened to me 49 years ago, and that was the best choice I made in my life. You know, before we talk about the perfect sacrifice about the Lord Jesus, I would like to let you know that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I would like to look at some scriptures that would be like an X-ray, just to manifest to us that we are sinners. You know, there is something that we have in common, each one of us here tonight, is that we are born sinners. And not only that, we are sinners by practice also. So let's start our consideration tonight in the Gospel of Matthew. starting in verse 19. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8 and verse 19. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Just remark the pronoun I. I will follow you. So the Lord replies, verse 20, and Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. Interesting here. We have a man here who wanted to follow Jesus with his own strength. I want to do it. And the other man said, let me first. You know, it's interesting. When I think about the pronoun I, what is the middle letter of pride? Yes? I, yes. What is the middle letter of sin? Yes. Hi. You're right. You know, the scripture tells us that all have sinned come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And you know, there are people who say, okay, I'm a sinner, right? But I will try to find my way to God. I know someone has counted more than 10,000 religions in this world. You know, religion is like a ladder. People are trying to climb the ladder to reach God. There's no way you can do that. Christianity is God coming down the ladder in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the good news of the gospel. It's not so much what I have to do for God, it's what God has done for me in the person of Christ. You know, there's a difference between man's achievement and divine accomplishment. We're going to get that a bit later. Because now, we're going to have an x-ray about our own hearts. About our condition. Then we're going to look at the remedy that God is offering us. Offering humanity. We will read now the same chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8. Starting at verse 28. It is said here, and when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesene, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Interesting. The Lord Jesus is doing a trip there on the other side of that body of water to meet those two men. These two men, they were possessed of evil spirits. You know, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. The Lord came where they were. And these two men, they were in really bad shape spiritually. But I believe we can see in them a picture of the sinful man, what we are in ourselves. You know, one day in Montreal, where I live, there was a brother from Ottawa who came to preach the gospel. And this brother is a brother that we respected very much. His name was Gordon Hale, a man of God. And this man was speaking to a crowd, and he said, you know one thing? There's not much difference between me and the drunkard there in the old Montreal. You know, we said, what is this? What is he talking about? He said, well, you know, we both have a rotten egg inside, but this guy's shell is open a little more. But he said, I have a rotten egg too. I'm a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, we cannot, with our sin, climb a ladder to try to reach God. Impossible. God cannot accept us in our condition of sinners. But He has provided a way. He has provided a way for us to be accepted in His presence. You know, usually on Friday night, we have a gospel supper in a little town where nearby where we live. And we my wife prepare a supper, and then we have a gospel presentation. And recently somebody died, and people were talking at the table, you know, what's about that person. And then a question was raised, you know. Where is that person? That person died. I mean, the body will be buried, yes, but what about the soul? So the question was raised, how can I be sure that I'm accepted by God when I die? And, there's a lady called Francine. She said, well, you know, I'm doing good things for my neighbor, so God will accept me. Oh, interesting. Another one said, I'm going to church every week. So, you know, I'm doing my religious duty. God will accept me. What would you answer to that question? Is it what you do? Like they said, I'm doing good thing. I'm going to church. It's not so much what I do. It's what Christ did on the cross. This is what we'd like to talk about tonight a bit as we continue our presentation. If you think that you can do something to earn God's favor, you're on the wrong track. You know, sometimes I share the gospel to Hindu people. And what they say, well, you know, we believe in Christianity because, you know, we have our own God, but we're going to take Christianity as a spare, just in case ours doesn't work, you know. People sometimes, the way they think, it's very strange. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, recently, I was talking to a lady about that verse, John 14. And the lady said, hey, if you repeat that sentence, it will become yours. You will be the way. I said, oh my. I heard that from people from the New Age before. No. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one come to the Father but by me. So we had the occasion during that supper to point to the cross and to say, hey, it's not what you're doing. It's what Christ has done. His finished work, His precious blood can wash away my sin and make me acceptable to God. You know, we have here in our account that the Lord came to visit those two men. And these men were in bad shape. You know, if we are to turn in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, it's the same account, but there is a bit of a difference. Because in the Gospel of Mark, it speaks that there was only one man. You know, I believe that the two is like a witness, that they are more than one person in bad shape. And the fact that there is one in Mark is that God wants to have a personal relationship. He wants you to experience a personal deliverance. You know, last Sunday, after breaking a bread, we went for a picnic to a park and shared the gospel there at the subway station. And then I saw a man there. We had the sign there with Bible verse, and the guy look at me, and he read the verse. And he wanted to talk, and we talked. This man's name is Olivier. This man was going for a therapy because of his problem with drugs. And I look at this guy, and I said, oh my. This guy looks like Legion here. No, Legion was not alone. They are not only two. It's incredible how many people are in houses of therapy. And very often, it starts only with a bad experience, going with the wrong friends, and then it continues. But you know, as we talked to this guy, we invited him to come to the picnic. He had a sandwich with us. And I read the account to him that we're going to read now. And we talked about Legion. And we talked about the deliverance that he could experience from the Lord Jesus. So let's read in Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Interesting. You know, as I was talking with Olivier, he told me that he went to 18 therapy in order to get rid of his bad habit. No man could tame him. This man, at some point, was very sincere to turn a new chapter of his life and to, but he did not get to the root of things. And you know, I've met quite a few persons who struggle with bad habits, bad traits of character. They try to get rid of it. I remember maybe 40-some years ago, we had a family gathering at my parents' place, and I went to take a little walk with my brother in the afternoon, and so I was talking about the Lord to my brother. And so he said, you know, I have this bad habit of cigarettes, but you know, I'm not really attached to it. He took his package, he threw it. Oh, interesting. So we went for a walk in the park and came back to my parents' place. And at some point we started to talk, and I look at, where's my brother? Oh, then my other brother said, oh, you went to get his package of cigarette there in the park. You know, in French there is a little saying that I'll try to translate it. Chase the natural and it will come back galloping. If you don't get to the root of things, it will come back. You know, are you struggling with a bad habit? Are you struggling with sin? You know, when I became a Christian at the age of 17 years old, it took me 7 years to experience the freedom in the Lord Jesus. 7 years. I tried my best, many ways. But there were bad habits, traits of character that I was trying to get rid of by myself. You know, sometimes, you know, we talk to people and we say, how are you? And we have a tendency to say everything is fine. But very often it's not the reality. I'm sure there are those here who are carrying burdens, struggling with bad habits, with sin. But the good news is that Jesus Christ is able to deliver you. And more than the bad habits of bad character, he wants to deliver you from the guilt of sin by his precious blood. You know, this man here that we read about here, is a man who lived in tombs. And the scripture tells us that we are all dead in our sins. We are in a miserable situation. It is said that this man, he was a man who was crying. He was in despair. He would take stone and cut himself. He didn't like himself. Are you that way? When you're alone, do you feel miserable? Do you hate yourself? You know, not later than a couple days ago, I tried to phone someone that I know and he did not answer. So I worried. I said, why is he not answering? And so the day after, early in the morning, I asked a brother who lived at the same neighborhood, I said, could you go check if everything is okay with him? Go check if his car is there, because if he went to work, because I worry for him. Maybe he had a heart attack. The guy lives alone. And he went there, and sure enough, his car wasn't there. He had gone to work. So I was able to keep in contact with the guy and ask him. I said, what happened? I tried to reach you yesterday. He says, I just closed my phone. No, I did not want to be involved with my phone. I said, why? He said, you know, that phone lead me to sin. He said, I closed it, put it in the drawer. I don't want to have to deal with that. We understand that this is a good servant that could become a bad master. But this guy was struggling with sin in his life. And this guy has made profession to know the Lord Jesus. But he was honest to tell me that, you know, he's struggling with sin. This man and this guy told me, I hate myself. I'm trying to get rid of this problem and I can't do it by myself. It's a plague. It's a plague for so many people that I meet, young people. But you know one thing? It's only as we get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, get to know Him as Savior, get to know Him as a good shepherd, our best friend, that this thing will become a good servant. I know some people, they like sport. They like to play games. I go visit some homes sometime where, they're not Christian, but you look at the table, screen of computer on this, and they don't eat at the table. They eat in front of a computer. There is no light. Good servant, but a bad master. You know, this man, he was hurting himself with stone. He was screaming, crying. He was on the mountain and in the tomb, ups and down. And also, he was also going, Luke tells us he was going in the wilderness. The solitude. Do you feel alone? Do you feel alone inside? You know, the Lord Jesus can meet your need. That loneliness. You know, sin isolates. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to bring you true happiness, but it has to do with Him, with His perfect sacrifice, His precious blood shed on the cross. We're going to get to that very soon. You know, this man, no man could tame him. They tried. Have you tried to get rid of some habits in your life? Jesus is able to bring you a real, real freedom. Real joy. Interesting that at some point, this man recognized Jesus as the Son of God. And we know there was a deliverance that this man experienced, but it was at the cost of 2,000 pigs that drowned there in the water. You know, your soul is precious. You have value before the Lord. Maybe you think that people don't think that you're very important, but God has found value in your soul. So much that He sent His well-beloved Son from heaven to come and become the perfect sacrifice in order to bring salvation. You know, it's interesting that when this man was delivered by the Lord, there was a big change of that man. This man was found sitting. He was dressed. Well, Luke tells us he didn't wear a garment. He was an immoral man. And also he was in his right mind. It's amazing what Jesus can do. I'd like to tell you a story of a young man called Denis that I met many years ago when I became a Christian. This guy was a manipulator, was a gambler. He had all the wrong defects you could imagine. And we were preaching the gospel in a park. And I didn't know much. I was maybe 18 years old at the time. And, you know, this guy would listen, but we knew that he was not real. At some point, this guy was on welfare and he would spend his check, you know, gambling and doing the wrong thing. At some point, he had nowhere to live. So he asked me, could I come live at your apartment? I said, yes, you could, but until the first. When you get your check, you go out. So sure enough, he came. Came the first. I had given him a key of my apartment. And I was working, so at night I would go to bed maybe 11, and the guy was wise. He would come at maybe midnight when I was sleeping. That was after the first, of course. He was supposed to go out on the first, but you know, he was very cunning. Anyway, so this guy, at some point I said, I'm gonna catch him. And sure enough, one night I heard the door, and I went to talk to him. I said, what are you doing with your life? Are you going to live your life always like that? Why don't you come to Christ? This guy, the Lord touched him that night, fell on his knees at the kitchen table there. You know, this guy, incredible. The bank had made a mistake on his bank account a couple of weeks before, and they had transferred $3,000 in his bank account by mistake, and he gambled everything. So after he accepted the Lord, He went to the bank. He said, listen, I stole $3,000. I come to pay you. I'd like to pay each month, you know, a certain amount. They said, it's the bank's mistake. Don't worry about that. He says, no, it's my mistake. It's me. So the guy at the time was working at the BNP in Montreal, the Bible store. And every week, he would take $100 out of his pay and go to the bank and pay and give out a tract. The guy that was the worst in the neighborhood, the Lord had changed his life. He became an honest man. He went to work. And, you know, it's amazing how the Lord can change things from the inside. From the inside. This is what the Lord wants to do. This is what happened to that man. You know, it's amazing. After the man that was delivered, the people of that area, you know, saw what happened. They saw the loss of the pigs, and they saw the man, and they said to Jesus, you go away from here. you go. You're disturbing us. Interesting. So this man is there. An area where Jesus is rejected. And he says, there must be room in the boat for me. The Lord said, no. You go. You go to your home and you tell them how the Lord has been good to you. And sure enough, the guy went and shared the good news about Christ. The guy did not know much about the Lord Jesus. But he went. He obeyed. And you know, it's interesting. If we were to look at a verse in chapter 6 of Mark. In verse 53. You know, this is happening after the deliverance of that man. And the Lord Jesus is coming back to the same area. And we read, and when they passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him and ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those who were sick where they heard he was. And whatsoever he entered into villages and city or countries, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touch him were made whole. You know, this man did his homework. The Lord told him, you just go. Tell, you know, from your house to tell them how the Lord has been good to you. And he went to Decapolis, to 10 cities. And when the Lord comes there, they receive him. It's amazing, you know. It's amazing. We just have to share where the Lord wants us to share. You know, I remember at work, one day I was witnessing to a secretary. And she asked me, so what about Muriel? Is she like you there? Is she a Christian? I said, yes, yes. She said, well, you know, she never talked to me about it, but I knew there was something different about her. Oh. You know, Muriel was a very happy in the Lord. And you know, our happiness is a great testimony in the world also. You know, interesting, we read about this man there, the condition of that man. And it's like a reflection of the condition of our heart. You know, we're all sinners. We're all self-centered. You know, it is said that this man was violent. No man could pass that way. He was immoral. He wore no garment. And you know, before the flood, there were two things that were prevailing in the human society. It was violence and corruption. And today, when God looks at the earth, what does he see? What does he see? God is so patient. Not wanting that anyone would perish, but would come to repentance. You know, we look at the condition. We are sinners by nature and by practice. But just before we close, I would like us to turn to John chapter 3. To look at the remedy. We're going to read verse 14. John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, we saw that we cannot reach God with our sins. God came to us, sent his Son. You know, we have an account here in verse 14 of Numbers chapter 21. The people of God, you know, they had murmur against Moses and against God. And God sent a judgment, fiery serpent. And people were bitten. And they, they were dying. And at some point, they say to Moses, pray the Lord that he would undertake, remove those serpents. And Moses prayed. The Lord, and the Lord told him, you're going to put a serpent made of brass, put it on the pole, and everyone that will look at it will have life, will be healed. And you know, it's interesting. If someone would have said, hey, I think I have a very good recipe. I'm going to take sand and I'm going to rub it, you know, where the snake bit me. Maybe it will heal. No. God's way was, you look and live. You know, it's not so much what you're doing. It's what Christ has done. And to consider that You know, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says that he that knew no sin, God made him sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know, God has provided for sacrifice. You know, it is said that the man that we talked about, he was found after he was delivered. He was sitting, he was at rest. He had garments, he was dressed. Do you know that the only possession that the Lord Jesus had as a man was taken away from him at the cross? It was his garment. Think about the prodigal son who came back home. He got the best robe. The best robe, the righteousness of God. This is what God is offering today. Look and live. Look at the perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. You know, one day I met a man, an Italian. The man had cancer of the throat and he knew that he was going to die very soon. And the poor man was so anxious. And the man was very, very much Catholic, you know. And I was trying to bring a word to point to the Lord Jesus. And it was a crucifix, you know, at his house. And I said to him, I said, listen, you see what you have there? I said, just think about the Lord Jesus, what he suffered on the cross. Just consider him. Consider what he did on the cross for you. This will bring you assurance to go to heaven. You know, in closing now, my father passed away about 8 years ago at the age of 99 years old. For 40 years, I've tried to witness to my father about Christ. And my father was Catholic, but he went to church, but he did not believe too much in God. Anyway, to make a long story, even he was very afraid dying. Very afraid. So I had the occasion to be with him during the last weeks of his life, take him to his treatment for cancer, and then when he was in the palliative care. And you know, I would repeat him a story. I said, Dad, you need a passport to go to heaven. My father used to enjoy going to Florida during the winter time. And he would stay there a couple of months. But I said, Dad, I said, when you went to Florida, you had to cross the border. You need a passport. He said, of course. I said, now you're going to undertake a big trip now. You're going to meet God. And you need a passport. You know, Canadian passport in those days was maybe $100. But I said, Dad, you cannot afford. You don't have enough money to pay for that passport to go to heaven. Sometimes we try to change the subject, you know. But I wanted my father to have assurance where he would go after he would die. Anyway, I repeated that story. Even when he was in the coma, he was there lying in his bed, not moving. But you know, the hearing is the last thing that leaves. So I would repeat him the story. I said, Dad, Jesus paid it. You just have to say thank you. You just have to receive it. It's free. Nothing to be done, just to say thank you, to receive the grace. You know, I don't know if my father has received it. I don't know. I may have a surprise in heaven. But tonight, you can know. It's possible for you to know. You know, it is said that the man of Nineveh repented at the message of Jonah. You know what they did? They listened to His message and they took it to heart. They repented. This is what repentance means. It's to listen to what God has to say and to act upon it. Oh, tonight, my friend, we saw that we are sinners by birth and by practice. We saw that we cannot save ourselves. We saw that God has provided a way for us to be saved. And it is not by something you can do. It's something that God has done. The perfect work of Christ. Or just like Moses lifted up, you know, that serpent on the pole there. The message of the gospel is, look and live. Just look.